Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast, today is September 13th?
Yeah.
I knew it was because September 11th was 2 days ago, so that was an easy remembrance.
Oh. I gotta say, I want to explain to everybody, I mean, no, I don't mean to minimize September 11th at all, but I am happy that we finally got into a place, at least in New York.
It ain't like the whole world stopping.
Right. Where it's, yeah, because for the first, 13 years, 12 years, all day, every day,
on the hour, the news, everything.
It was just like you had to relive that whole day every single year. And that's not to take away from the people who lost their lives. That's not any of that. But that shit was traumatic. Like, you had to relive that shit. Or just be in a media bubble, right?
Where were you in September?
Yeah, so I started trying to be out of town. Because even at first I thought if I was out of the country, it'd be fine. And I did that a couple of years. But then I realized if I just wasn't in New York.
You were good. In like Philly or DC.
Yeah, like one year I was in California and I was like, but this year, of course, they still did the memorial down at World Trade Center and everything, but it just...
Did they? Did they do the names thing and all that?
They did it. They do it every year.
I work out of 1 and 7 World Trade a lot, so I stay the fuck home. The security is like crazy.
I can only imagine.
Oh, wait, we have to introduce our guest.
Oh, yeah, we have a guest. This is clearly not Sean's voice.
Is it?
You know what? Sean
will
fuck you up.
Sean, I have no idea where Sean is. Sean said he was going to North Carolina or something.
I think
it was North Carolina Central.
Okay.
Or something. Okay. And he was going with her or something.
He wanted to be a role manager.
Yeah, he basically be a role manager for his wife, so he wasn't available. So I was looking on the Twitter and I said, this girl here got a lot of strong opinions. And if you're a writer and everything,
so you write sometimes.
And so tell the people, you know, who you are and what you all about.
I planned something like eons ago and forgot about it. But anyways, my name is Shamira.
Hi, Shamira. What's your Twitter name?
Most people call me Sham.
Sham God.
My Twitter handle is _ Sham God with 1 M, if you get the reference. I am a Harlem... Well, I'm not a resident anymore, but
born
I am
and raised.
A Harlemite / East African / Dipset apologist.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the Dipset shit. She loves the dip. She loves Dipset.
She's from East Harlem, that's why.
Yeah.
I think she's from way up.
You're by Polo Grounds.
Yeah, I grew up in Colonial.
Yeah, the ones next to Polo Grounds. The little small joints. Yeah, in the back. The joints in the back. Yeah, I know them.
Through the building.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I said we've seen each other on Twitter and we started to communicate on Twitter.
Right, and y'all slandered me a couple of weeks ago.
Definitely slandered you a couple. Tiff slandered her.
It's cool, Tiff.
You know what I'm saying? No, but no, it wasn't me.
I see you. I see you on your Santorini.
I see. I'm waiting for the picture with the holding hand picture.
Tiff being so thotty and greasy.
Yo, but that, I gotta say to Tiff, and you know, we'll move to the show, but she, that one plate she showed with the lobsters, that should look good as hell.
Thotty, yaddy, dope.
Yeah, all right. We want to hear all about it, Tiff, when you come on. You know, so welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for coming and sitting in for bruh. He wanted to meet you, but again, he's out of town, so he sends his love. Mm-hmm. You know, how y'all doing today? You're ready to go away.
I'm getting ready to go away. I'm going to Curacao for a wedding, and just my travel is fine.
Did I ever tell you my Curacao story? I think I did, right?
Was that the one where you just put your car down and just picked any other location? Yes, you told us that. You told that story on the air.
That was a long time ago.
Because you put it on your corporate card. I miss corporate card days.
Just like,
so,
how about that?
Let's go. Let's pick a place. Close your eyes.
Yeah, but actually, we didn't go to Curacao, though.
No, you ended up going to Grand Cayman. I'm going to Caymans. Yeah.
Because I missed my plane to Curacao.
You missed your flight to Curacao.
And we was at the airport.
Being a nigga.
And it was like, yeah. Being a nigga. And like, the literally, we stayed at the airport hotel. So we was like 5-10 minutes from the airport. And
but
still
you know what?
Shit.
The one time I had to stay at the airport hotel, I missed my flight.
Because you think you got so much time.
Right. I missed the fuck out of my flight.
I missed but those shuttles take forever.
They do. That and that was pre-Uber. So it was like,
I had to sit there waiting for that little ass bus. Yeah. Just annoyed as hell.
See, there you go. It wasn't my fault.
I mean, it
we should have won, Shamsi. You would have understood me. You would have been like, "That ain't your fault, baby."
Nobody was in it. But you
But anyway, you're going to Curacao.
So Curacao is in the Northern Caribbean, so it wasn't affected by the hurricane. But a lot of people who are on this trip were connecting through Miami. Mm-hmm. So all day I've been in a group, like a chat group, with a bunch of the other people who are going. Like everybody trying to rebook their shit,
trying to figure it out,
scramble and everything. And then some people have to fly to Miami and like lay over to get out and like lay over for like a night to get out.
Tell them get up early. Don't fuck around with that shuttle
bus. There's no like all the hotels nearby are sold out. Mm-hmm. And the other hotels
where they staying?
They're trying to figure it out. But the other hotels are starting to jack up their rates because I think this is the case with a lot of people. Like they're stuck.
You know
Miami.
What they should really do to keep it just always funky?
They said nobody can stay in the airport. The airport
That's
said
what
nobody
I was about
can stay in
there. Just sleep in the damn airport. Be funky, but at least you're there at the gate. So God bless them. Well, have a fun time. And we'll look at your gram. And
look at my gram. You know. Like, I plan to go and really just chill. I've actually been to this resort before. It's a nice resort. And I like Curacao. There's not a lot to see in terms of sight. I mean, it's got a pretty little port area, colorful and shit. But it's not a whole lot.
You're going for a wedding, so you have
to. I'm going for a wedding, but I've been to this resort before. I like Curacao, though, because it's not too hot. Mm-hmm. It's not too humid. It's got a nice little breeze. Like, you can just chill.
Yeah, I don't even know what part of it. I just picked it from
It's near... Like it's across from Aruba.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
I
want
to say. Whatever. It's across from Aruba. Yeah. That might be right.
Oh, I want to give a quick shout out. Peace to Corner Social. I went there Saturday night.
Yeah, they be popping on the weekend.
Lit.
It's like Harlem. It's like Harlem.
No, I know that.
It's like Harlem 1998 on the weekend.
But it was. This is what you got to do for those who go if you don't want to deal with the full litness.
Right.
I went around 8.
Yeah.
So it was popping, but still cool.
Right. Around 8 is when, like, the cat daddies are around.
I saw somebody we know, but I won't say. You know what I mean? I don't want to blow no one out. There was definitely some cat daddies in the building. But then around 10:30.
It gets younger?
It gets a little younger. Then they start with the line to get in. And the DJ turns the volume up. Yeah. And then it starts to get... Your man's in the 1998. And that's when I slid out.
The last time I went to Corner Social... Fucking Rich Dollars and Peter Guns walked in the corner.
Oh, yeah, that's about right.
That's about right. And when I was walking in the Corner Social, because this was still summer, this maybe a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
As I was walking in, dude drove by in a baby blue Bentley.
Yeah.
Niggas was on the corners. I was like, what year is it?
They got Cove. And Cove downstairs gets the little lady.
And then people go across to Jenny's.
And then now they got
Jenny's
Cantina.
And Harlem Rooster.
And that Balducci's or whatever, the pizza
spot.
Yeah,
and the pizza. That's a good late
spot. So for those who want to, like, get a little flavor but not full-on Air Force Ones, your man and them, go around 8.
Right,
7:30.
Right. Yeah.
Slide out around 9:30, 10.
Yeah, Harlem still has some spots. I know people think that, like, the Harlem social scene ain't as popping as Brooklyn's.
But you know what's interesting about
it's preference.
Right.
And also what I find is when I talk to the people from, well, I know you're a little deeper, but the people a little further in closer to the city, I find that when I talk to them about the Brooklyn scene, there's definitely a lot of spots, but they say there's not a lot of black spots.
Right.
So there's a lot of spots, but it's all going to be very mixed or like white.
I think like the only black spot is like Milk River and like a couple of other
Or what's
things.
The joint on Sugar Cane, basically to find, they don't have like a spot that's going to be like mostly black.
And even then, depending on the neighborhood, like Casablanca off on, what is it on? It's like on Lewis and McDonough, I want to say. Anyway, down by there, you know, it's deep in Bed-Stuy. It's like pretty, but on the off night, you'll be like, who are all these white people?
Exactly. Right. Like, so Harlem still got the black shit. Right, right. You know what I'm saying? They got more spots than we got. Yeah. Harlem got the
one
black
of my favorite spots, I don't mean to derail this whole conversation, but on the west side, it's Solomon and Cuff.
Yeah.
Solomon Cuff is dope. Used to be a Forest Bar.
Yeah, 9A, right?
But now, and it's big. It's got room. Yeah. And the food's not bad.
Yeah, the food's pretty good. So let's get the party started. This is a couple quick yells. Just want to say peace to Sloan Stephens, who won the U.S. Open, bodied it. Beat up. I guess she's not black. She's half black. Madison Keys.
Well, you know, she's,
are we claiming her?
She brown.
She's black. So I used to have this whole thing where like.
Here we go. Come on.
No, I used to be really like. Obnoxious about the whole like mixed people who keep doing the whole like I don't know who I am just sounds stupid and like I still think that they sound stupid but if you want to say that
is
you
she
say
one of those
yeah she's one of those like you know
how do you not know who you are I mean I guess it depends on how you grew up right
well I like, think she grew up around I believe she grew up mostly white mom, folks so then
maybe in that case she doesn't maybe what she means by that is just like she's never had a black identity
or a black boyfriend
right. And I can get that I went to high school with a couple of those. And it was kind of like, why you over there? Well, you could be over here.
Yeah.
Right. And then for the most part, they went to college and got their shit together.
Yeah. And but, well, I will say this. Her and Sloan are like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Super
but
tight.
Sloan,
so,
yeah. But
so
you know, Sloan, there's a rumor that Sloan and Serena, got I mean, beef? Venus got beef.
I can believe that.
Well, Sloan because and Serena Sloan at one point had beef.
Yeah, yeah,
Sloan
absolutely.
Sloan and Serena. Not
yeah,
Sloan
yeah.
Beef.
I remember they played okay, and it was a lot of attitude.
Well,
and like,
Sloan I think beat, they Sloan beat Serena.
Yeah.
Like a while ago.
And
after that, Serena was like,
yeah.
Shading the fuck out.
Yeah, Serena was basically like, yeah, she beat me, but I wasn't even really trying. I didn't feel like it today. Yeah. Like, you know, so it was definitely, and it was like a light pound at the net, like a real, like, yeah, what's up? Because I think they would think, I'm remembering it now. They were projecting onto Serena. Because Sloan was obviously even younger then.
Right.
I think she was maybe like, not a teenager, maybe.
She was 19.
19.
She was 19.
So they were projecting on Serena, why don't you, like, mentor her?
That was the whole thing.
And Serena was basically like, fuck that. Like, I'm out here to win, and I'm not trying to help this girl across the net beat me.
Right. But Sloan has said, and I don't know how recent it was, Sloan has apparently said in an interview that after she beat Serena, like, they would be in rooms together and Serena would dead-ass ignore her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, she gave a couple quotes
not
like
nothing.
That.
Yeah.
And Serena got salty about her even giving public quotes.
Yeah.
Like,
why is my name in your mouth? So
right,
like,
right,
doing?
Right.
Yeah.
And she basically was like, we're cool, like, in the sense I treat you like I do any other competitor.
Yeah.
It's not friends.
Yeah.
And, like, Serena doesn't think, for better or worse, she said, like,
it's
I mean, by default, I don't have to be your mentor, right?
True.
But
I mean, and she really doesn't.
I mean, that's true, especially if you're still out there and you're still competitive and whatever. But I would think that all the barriers that the Williams sisters had to fight to kick down and break down, you see another one coming up through. Like, Tiger still hasn't had somebody come up behind him.
Exactly.
But you see another one coming up through, like, you ain't got to fucking give him no secrets and train
but
with
damn,
or nothing,
you can speak
like,
in the locker room.
Yeah, right, like, holla at him.
But apparently Serena's can be really mean.
Yeah. But apparently they squashed it. Because, like,
cool
when
now.
She won, like, Serena shot her out, was like, I'm super proud of you or whatever, you know.
Okay, good.
And so I think they've squashed
the
beef or
whatever.
They've
moved on. Yeah, Serena's got a baby now. She's older.
Yeah.
So anyway, so peace to her. She beat Madison Keys.
Yeah,
crushed Madison Keys. She beat Venus previous to that.
Yeah, right,
so her path wasn't easy.
Yeah.
She whooped ass. And she was fly when she got her check. Like, oh, shit. How much is this shit? Like, you know what I'm saying?
3.7 mil ain't no joke.
3.7? Word?
Listen.
I mean, you know, so she's, you know, and she's a really pretty girl. Her mom is really pretty, too.
Yeah.
I think her mom was an athlete as well.
Yeah, her parents were both athletes.
Yeah.
Her mom, I think, did track. I might be wrong there.
I think you're right. I think
and
her mom was track.
Her dad was a football player.
Yeah, so I just wanted to shout her out because, you know, I liked it all. I mean, I was pulling for Venus, but.
Yeah, I was too, but, you know.
But, you know, it's okay. Sloan won. It's okay. I want to give a shout to my man Bun B, who along with Scooter Braun put together a massive telethon
last night.
To benefit the victims of Harvey in Houston and the surrounding areas. I want to make sure that I mention that it was not just for Houston,
right?
It's
but
for
the
Beaumont and Port Arthur and a bunch of areas around Houston that got hit harder actually than Houston did.
Because I think
Port Arthur is basically, like, gone.
It was all in the water.
Right.
Yeah, so,
and I think that's important to point out, because with Harvey, and with Irma, like, with Harvey, a lot of people, once Irma came, like, a lot of people just kind of diverted their attention away. Mm-hmm. And he's, I mean, it was like a fucking week later, you know?
Yeah, it's like the shit, people still wet.
But it's weird because depending on who you know, like, I don't know anybody in Houston who lost their shit. All my people in Houston are fine. Okay. Not that I have that many, but my people who do live in Houston, mm-hmm. like, they're all good, right? Yeah. And, but, and my people who live in Florida might have lost power for a minute, but they're all good. But Florida is going through some shit.
Florida's terrible. Like,
it really is, we have to be careful because, you know, Harvey's devastation was immense, and it's going to be a long time mm-hmm. before those areas are back to normal, if right. ever, right? It's a new normal.
They say they're starting with Irma, plan gentrification as we speak.
Yeah, with mm-hmm. Irma, like, maybe it wasn't a Category 5 when it hit Florida.
But it was bad.
And, I mean, the effects have still rippled all the way up to Georgia and the Carolinas because people in Georgia don't have power.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Atlanta got hit the night before last. Yeah. And they don't have, it's a lot of places in Atlanta just getting power back now.
Yeah.
So that's one that definitely said that. I talked to Bun today. He was, you know, still like on the cloud mm-hmm. of doing night. The telethon. Yeah. And like,
and that was great. I only caught the tail end of it.
But yeah. So. And, mm-hmm. you know, the people who came out and supported and, you know, he just was amazed. He was actually amazed by the people who came out.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I can't believe, like, Oprah came and,
right,
you know,
right.
like, all these people showed up. So he you know, so, you know, I told him I was happy and proud of him for doing that. Real quick, I mean, Brian here, so don't really count because y'all don't, I'm sure you don't give a shit, but NFL started yeah. Sunday pass.
Yeah, we know.
My Raiders won 1-0.
Light work, easy. Because I'm seeing people
about boycotting. I'm not boycotting shit. And I'm riding with Cap.
Yeah.
All day. Like I fucks with Cap heavy.
But the concept of boycotting the entire NFL, like,
it's not realistic.
It's also so ingrained. That's what I'm saying. People,
it's not realistic.
Right? Yeah. No.
I'm not gonna watch
any
football from now until February.
That means you can't be in bars 4 days out the week.
That's what I'm saying. Or Super Bowl parties. Or right. It's just not realistic now.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit here and say I'm boycotting. And there's a few cats this week passed because week one. And the games honestly weren't great.
Right.
So this week people were like, I'm boycotting. Right. And I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah,
and the weather's still decent. Yeah, wait till like November.
The 49ers stands was like empty.
Right. Yeah, and the Rams were. Well, the 49ers. That might happen.
Now I could boycott the 49ers.
Because, yeah, right. and that's they got easy. Their ass kicked, too.
Right, that's right. Also
yeah, easy. And, you know, obviously right. I can see that because that's Cap's home.
Right.
But the Cat's online to him, but I ain't watching. I'm like, all right, B, wait till it's like 45 degrees on a rainy Sunday.
Right.
You tell me you're not going to be watching football in the crib, eating some chicken and waffles?
Right.
You're lying.
Well, yeah, like, so Greg is a diehard Eagles fan.
Okay.
His birthday's at the end of the month. And
who are you?
I'm a Giants fan, which is also unfortunate.
Right, so we're going to the Eagles-Giants yeah. game next weekend. And because it's at Philly. Mm-hmm. And it's like his birthday week or whatever. And I was really like, well, shit, maybe I should like wear a number 7 shirt or a Cap shirt or something. But we're in a box of like, we're in like a corporate box. So I was like, right. I can't do that. Because I'm like, yeah. would be like, bitch.
Or even just walking
like, through. Or even just walking through. Yeah. You in Philly. Yeah. Philly's rough.
Somebody's going to say something. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, so anyway, you know, my Raiders is 1-0. Like work for the Tennessee Titans easy. You know, Marshawn Lynch is back. Love. You know, just whatever. You know,
yeah.
peace to bro. The Saints got pounded. You know, he's a Saints fan. Yeah. So, whatever. I just wanted to mention that.
Right.
You saw Adrian Peterson just looking stank as hell.
Beefing at the coach because he wouldn't get no play. He went to the wrong team for that shit.
Right.
I also want to mention a story we covered. So, apparently now Gucci has decided to officially work with Dapper Dan.
In a campaign. Not as a designer.
But still,
he got a check.
He got a check and, right. You know, and cool, legally, at least got a check, and he's being acknowledged.
Right.
You know.
They need to let him. They need to let him go ahead and do what he do, though.
Maybe it'll slowly get to that. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, you know? I think they're giving him the money also to reopen his store in Harlem.
Well, that's hot.
Right.
So I haven't seen the confirmed article.
But I'm just
in the same space?
I doubt that.
But I'm just saying,
right?
Dapper Dan and me and Bev Smith from the show briefly had this conversation on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Dapper Dan originals ain't Dapper Dan originals without logos.
Right.
And you can say, yeah, just let me have Dapper Dan make me some shit, but nobody knows Dapper Dan. Like, the whole point was that you had some some shit that
because you could that you couldn't get
that you couldn't get right. Yeah. It was like the exclusive hotness, like right. not. And I mean, I'm sure well, he could do a great tailoring design or whatever. But the thing about a Dapper Dan would be like you show him something, you'd be like, I want that, but MC, I'm all over it. Right. Or I want that, but with Louis Vuitton. You know what I mean?
It's but like, you know, but like I don't know. I see what you're saying. He's gonna have to obviously change his thing a little bit. But yeah. I believe, look, the way you know, I follow the clothing shit, right? Yeah. So. And Gucci's on fire right now. Like, they are hotter than they have that's been in eons.
But it's all retro streetwear.
I know that, but they... All of it. But, yeah. What did you say?
I'm side-eyeing, like, legit all of it.
All
like,
of it?
I was in New York Fashion Week, and, you know, I track some of the stuff. I don't pretend to be a super fashionista or mm-hmm. anything. But, like Alexander Wang and Philip Klein bringing out Tiana Taylor.
Yeah,
and,
oh, it was Nigga Central at Fashion
and
Week.
And it's like all Migos. These folks who, like, you know, like the kind of folks that Anna Wintour 4 years ago wouldn't dare invite to a Met right. Ball and all this stuff. All of a sudden, like they're realizing that like urban culture is pop their culture or whatever, and they're trying to just easily pull from that because then they can say we're doing what's current instead of actually coming up with the original designs because they don't got none right now, right? Mm. So I just feel like it's an easy cop off. And ultimately, a lot of those designers are just like they did with Dapper Dan when shutting him down, are knocking off current popular black designers, right, that are rising up and down. Like, there's a designer, Laquan Smith, who I want to shout out. Like, he's
I've seen his stuff.
I just went to his Fashion Week show. He's dressed Beyonce, he's dressed Cardi, he's dressed Remy, he's dressed any, like, a lot of the big people you can think of. And instead of him getting his proper props the way that he should, his show and his aesthetic is amazing. Instead, it's like the Alexander Wangs and all that, knocking off his shit.
Sending little spies and then bringing it back.
It's just whack to me. Yeah. So it's like, cool, you finally let the Migos come to your show.
Right. Right. What do
you want me to do about that?
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Bless Tiana Taylor, who made the most of it.
Right. I'm not saying.
I know what you're saying. You know? Yeah, so I'm hoping that Dapper Dan is like a little tag in the thing designed by David Dan and he gets his props or whatever way. I want to talk to you ladies. I don't know if you're into it as much about this whole Fenty Beauty thing.
Well, I mean,
because you don't wear a lot of makeup.
I don't really wear makeup.
Yeah, and I know you said you went and bought some.
Yeah, I bought some stuff.
So first of all, just the overall campaign, you know, Rihanna comes out with this makeup. Now, did people know this was coming?
People knew it was coming for a couple of months.
She hasn't been a really long lead.
Okay, so that's why it was such a frenzy when it was like, oh shit, it's actually in stores.
Right. She mentioned it like 3-4 months ago.
And she just dropped the promo like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, the official promo happened like a week and a half ago. Yeah.
And then boom, then it's out. And it was great.
But they were really preparing because apparently, well, except for the darker colors, they got that shit in stock. Like, it's not a limited collection.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. They're saying the darker colors are flying out the store. Also, just great marketing because they really did it around the same time as they did the fashion show, the Puma show. So it was that kind of Rihanna world.
They had them all wearing the makeup and
of course, of course. So, why? Again, I don't wear makeup, right? So I'm asking questions that I really don't know the answer to. So
why?
I know
that.
Yeah, because I know Mac. I think Mac and like Bobby Brown make, you know, darker color makeups and why?
Yeah.
I'm just asking. And
they do, but
it ain't like this.
The Fenty's foundation line was like 40 something colors.
Yeah,
it's a wider range than you usually.
And how much? How many colors is like Bobby Brown or?
I mean,
you're talking about brands that have been around for decades versus a brand that's been around for like not even a month yet, so you can't compare. But usually, when a new line launches, the initial launch will be like 8 to 10 shades, sometimes maybe 20, and then the rest will be like, we'll get to it, right? And maybe they do get to it, and maybe they don't, right?
But they don't just drop them.
They don't
like
just
drop,
right?
But Rihanna gave y'all everything.
Right. And she said she's coming out with more, right? So it's not
it's coming with even more.
Yeah, she said she wants to do more shade. So this is not by any means the only limit. This is just the first
one. And usually the range for brown skin is pretty limiting.
Right.
So, like, unless...
So what is your number? Do you have a number?
I mean, it varies.
Isn't there numbers? You don't have numbers?
I mean, it varies line by line. There is no, I have this
one. Oh, I thought it was one number.
No,
so I don't know
it varies line by line. And also, I don't really...
I use coconut oil.
I don't really wear foundation. The only time I do wear foundation is when I'm, like, going to a formal event or I have to take photos or something like that. And I couldn't tell you what the foundation is. I had somebody at Sephora gave it to me. Like, I don't know. Like, I had to have a professional tell me what to get. But I do know that finding a range of colors for brown skin is hard. And, like, I actually am usually about as... You might be able to get, like, a shade darker than me. And for most.
To buy.
For most. Yeah, to buy. Unless you're getting, like, a queen. Like,
so anything
queen
darker than that, that's hard to find.
Right. Like, right. Unless you're getting, like, a queen by CoverGirl, or unless you want to pay a lot of money, or unless you're getting something that specifically... That's the thing with Fenty. Fenty is not a line of cosmetics just for women of color. It's for women, period. Usually, you only see a wide range of brown and darker colors if it's a line that is just specifically for women of color. Okay. And hers goes all the way almost to white for albinoism.
A word?
Straight down. Yeah. Straight all the way down.
Oh, shit.
All the way down the line.
So you got to make up for the albino gals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
fine.
She's
really, see, I'm so,
so
I
would
have never even thought about it.
Yeah, it really is.
And
all special.
I know there have been some criticisms about how the colors look in the tubes. I actually went to the
yeah, I remember you said
Sephora.
On Twitter you had went. Yeah,
yeah, I
was
went
it
to
was
Sephora
it crazy
store.
When you went in there to buy it?
Well, I had an optometrist appointment, so I went at 9 a.m. because I can't. I'm not good at the whole crowd sitting in stores. Like,
yeah,
because
Sean
like
said
I'm
he took his daughter to the mall. Jordan wanted to buy some, and she said Jordan couldn't even get to the counter.
Yeah, I heard
it
was
crazy
in some
crazy.
Areas.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are probably buying shit up just to have it.
Yeah, I actually bought I bought two things online, think it was gonna sell out, and then like I got to start like, oh wait, all the stuff's still.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you bought it, and what's the word I'm for? Critique or
right
yeah,
I mean so just a quick comment on the foundation. I know like the pictures of it don't even really capture how deep the shades go because so there's a thing that foundation does, it's called oxidization, which means as it's exposed to air a little longer it gets darker. Darkest shade, what the tube looks like, first of all looks darker when you just rub it on, and then as it sits on it gets darker.
Okay.
So like the darkest shade you can't tell until you see it in person. So there's like popular, like really dark skinned models. Like, I mean, Gabrielle Sidibe, like put a picture, said she found her perfect match. Nima, who's like, she's a makeup artist and model who's like kind of become viral on social media for testing how well dark swatches actually blend with her skin. Mm-hmm. She's like dark of Sudanese descent, found a good match, know. So, I think the test I've had, because for my complexion, I've been able to use like brands that cater to, white people mostly without much issue. But with those folks, like the fact that they're saying I found my match and this is my number, like that's dope, you know.
And I mean, and of course, then your girl, fucking what's her name, Kylie, dropped her little makeup.
Yeah,
on.
I saw that.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, that's not, it's over, bitch. All the black girls is buying
Kim Kardashian cried herself to sleep because that, her little concert line came and went. Like,
I
just
forgot
not,
about that.
Yeah.
I actually forgot about it.
Yeah.
That quick. Yeah, but I mean, the foundation is what's been getting all the conversation, but she has everything. She has highlighters. She has lips. Like,
she has a whole line of sticks, good brushes.
And, I might look and see what her concealer's on. That's the one thing that I do buy religiously. Like, I wear professional grade concealer when I do have one. I don't have one now.
What does concealer do?
It covers blemishes, but I use it for the dark circles under my eyes.
Yeah.
So you can use it for blemishes, you can use it to cover up tattoos, scars, whatever. I use it specifically, which most people do, I use it for the dark circles under my eyes.
Because
I've always had dark circles. I have hereditary dark circles. Mm. So, and I had never been able to find a concealer that worked well until a makeup artist put me on. I use Kevin Aucoin. You can't even buy it everywhere. But like one little pot lasts me for a long time. But I'm gonna check and see what Rihanna got going on. I might check that.
I just like it.
Yeah, she has like a whole little guide. If you know your shade, the recommended things to buy for your
line. So they put a lot of thought into
it. Yeah, they put a lot of thought into it.
That's great. Yeah. And obviously it's not for me, but from the outside looking in, I just like the marketing, I liked the rollout. I liked how involved she was. Like, she was going to counters and like talking to people.
Right.
I just liked, I liked the support. Like, black women were genuinely like, I was talking to somebody today about it, and she was like, I don't see really what the difference is. I said, I feel like, especially just with the shift of the way the culture has been shifting over the past few years, I think a lot of it also is, besides the fact that it sounds like it's a great product, that I think black women just want to buy makeup from another black woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they want to support another black woman.
Yeah, and I think also, like, black women want to buy makeup. I think there's two things happening. We're with all the YouTube tutorials and all that stuff. We've gotten into this. I don't remember a time when I was younger when so many black women, like just everyday normal black women, like went around with like professional level beats.
Right.
You know, like,
man, you saw me in high school.
Yeah, like the makeup tutorials online, like all of that stuff. Like, there are women who can do, you know, the contouring and the highlighting and all those other tricks, mm-hmm. like in ways that a professional can. So I think it's become more than just I want to play in makeup, but it's really like, you know, it's more experiential. It's more of a thing. Like, there are women who really like collect makeup. Like, the collections are crazy. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're talking about Tiff Blackhill Woods earlier. She's one of those. Like, she's a Mac lipstick hoarder. She's a Mac hoarder. Like, she has her colors. And also, sometimes this stuff gets discontinued. So, you like, once you find something that works for you, that's the hard part. Like, for black women, black women I know who wear makeup consistently, foundation especially, because that's the thing that sets for everything else. Mm-hmm. It's like, once you find something that works for you, you're like, oh my God, like, you just gotta stick to that.
Yeah.
This is mine. I want it forever and ever and ever. Don't ever take it away from me. Yeah. Like, and you layer everything else on top of that. So I think there's that. I think that's part of it, just wanting to support. And on the makeup front, congrats to Issa Rae, who just got named the new face of CoverGirl.
Right? Yeah, I saw that. Right. I saw a picture from there making her up. She looked, I mean, she's gorgeous regardless, but she looked fly, you know. Right. And we're gonna get to Insecure now.
No, I'm not trying to jump in Insecure.
You know what I'm saying? This is a very feminine show we're doing today.
Do you feel a way about it? Are you okay?
No, you know, I love the girls. I love.
I know you love women, love, but I don't really know how you feel about feminism.
No, I'm with feminism. Okay. Because you know why? I be thinking about this shit, right? I be thinking like,
you evolve. You have evolved a bit.
I don't think I ever was not a feminist. I was close to my mom growing up. My mom had, you know, girlfriends growing up. I mean, it's not uncommon. My mom had girlfriends. She had sisters and other. So I was around women a lot as a kid. So like, my thoughts. Which is why I'm so, like, overprotective over, like, older black women now. Right. Like, older black women could get anything from me.
Right.
I don't have to know her. She's like, son, cause I'm whatever, whichever you need me to do. So, I just feel like, I've always felt like, you know, I like women.
Yes.
So, when I see stuff, I'm like, damn, my nigga, like, you don't like girls? Right. And I think, we've had this conversation, we don't have to go over this tangent, but I think a lot of dudes don't actually like women.
And, well, I think they don't like them. I think they don't see the value in women.
Yeah, aside, it's like, from, give me some pussy, cook me some food, and I'm out of here.
I think they really don't see a genuine value in women. I think they haven't been exposed to the idea of men and women actually having friendships and being partners.
Exactly.
So I will say, I've never thought you were like a woman hater or anything. You do have some... Sometimes your mind goes someplace where I'd be like, what?
I think with the
that's the old uptown nigga in you. That really, I'd be like, Jeff is so old school uptown. That's the old school.
I can't not deny that now. What are you gonna do? I ain't perfect.
Shit. Okay.
I want to mention Kanika, I want to say her name right. Kanika Jenkins?
I think it's Kanika,
Jenkins.
Which, this story is so crazy.
The story is crazy. I know you had a lot of thoughts. You have a lot of thoughts on this story. So, she's a young girl from Chicago. And the story is kind of, it's still unfolding.
Right.
And today I saw somebody try to throw a turn in it. So she was found in a freezer, frozen
to
death,
in a hotel,
in a Marriott out in Rosemont, which is like right outside Chicago.
I've actually
been there before because there's a theater there. They do concerts. I went to R. Kelly show there. I think there's signs of rape, maybe.
Still being debated, but I think now it's confirmed, right?
Yeah. But then somebody dropped a video today, I guess they were of her at the party that they were at, and they were all getting drunk, and so the cops are trying to say that she was so drunk
that she might have actually wandered
into the freezer passed out.
The cops tried to say that initially.
Yeah, that she fell.
They told her mother that she must have been drunk. Because this is what was weird. So she's at this party at this hotel with some friends.
Not real friends.
Allegedly, right.
Yeah, they ain't friends.
The cops tell the mother that they think she must have, like you said, wandered off and thought the freezer door was another door and gone in there and like fell asleep past it, or just locked herself inside, because once you close yourself in the freezer, that's pretty much it. But the thing is that it was in a part of the kitchen that was under construction, so it's not, and the freezer was completely empty. So you're just wandering around, you happen to wander into this, you're on the ninth floor, you're drunk, you make your way all the way down into whatever, the kitchen,
wandering
into
some freezer.
With nobody seeing you, you go into this unused part of the kitchen, into a completely empty freezer, and also, those industrial freezer doors are heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
You would open that while
it ain't the freezer in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
right, they are heavy, and they are, so, at first, the girls who were with her mom, they called her mom at like 4 a.m. or something like that, saying they couldn't find Kanika. And their story was, because Kanika's car was there and Kanika's phone was there. Their story was that they were all about to leave, and Kanika said she left her phone and her, I guess, purse in the room, or her phone and her car keys. For some reason, three of them were like, we're going to go back to get it, and Kanika stayed in the hallway. And they said he went back to get the stuff, and when they came back out, Kanika was gone. What's unfolded since then, one of the girls had gone on the Facebook Live at some point that night, and people shared the video. This girl has since deleted her Facebook
account.
That's the
girl who, when you say they could hear, they thought
you could hear
Kanika in the background
said help me.
And one of the boys was about to say, let's rape her or some crazy
and
shit.
I watched it once. I couldn't really watch it. I didn't want to keep watching, because some people have just like watched it.
Yeah, I've seen 17 people with interpretations.
I heard the help me.
I definitely heard the help me.
And I also heard somebody say later, I'm not that drunk.
Right.
And somebody said that you could see, the girl had on like these stunners,
mirror
like these
glasses.
Reflective mirror glasses. And somebody was like, you can see Kanika in the reflection. I'll be honest. I wasn't trying to really CSI it, cause I was worried about being too upset basically. But I did notice that there were certain moments where the girl kept turning the volume up or turning music on to play and whatever she was listening to. And there was mention of like the smoking feet for the room, you never see any of the men in the room. They definitely sounded older. Because these girls are all like 17, 18, 19.
Was 19. Yeah,
they're all like
babies.
18, 19.
Yeah.
And the boys were probably like mid-20s. So now the belief is that the girls set her up to get raped, either for some money or
just some foul shit.
Or just on some foul shit. Which is just... And one of the girls went to the police to cooperate. So we'll see what comes out of that. And
yeah,
apparently
another one of the girls committed suicide. Oh, yeah, some hood shit, but I watched it. It was a video on Worldstar of that girl. The girl, she was on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
She tried to commit suicide. She didn't, of course. And she's sitting there, like, crying and scared. And then the cops come in her bedroom.
Oh, wow.
And arrest her.
Wow.
Yeah, like, she's like, you have anything to break on? And she's like, no! She's, like, crying, so... That made me sad, but that also made me say they're gonna find out what happened, because that girl was already shook.
Right.
I promise you, she's telling on anybody when she got
to the police station.
She's telling everything. So, but as heinous as this case is, and it's still unfolding, what was more heinous to me, kind of going back to our conversation about liking women, not like women, is people's reaction to the case.
They were blaming her.
Everybody's blaming her. Like, you shouldn't be dressed like that.
Choose a friend more carefully.
Yeah.
So now, and I saw that's what you were saying. You were really discussing a lot on Twitter about you and
Jamila
Lemieux. We had the similar things. You like how y'all going at this young girl? Like, it's her fault. So talk to me about.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, it's one of those conversations that you think you're making an insightful point, but you're really not, right? It's like, oh, you know, worry about who you consider a friend. It's like, she could have zero friends whatsoever. Like, I don't, like, it doesn't affect the fact that men came through and raped her, allegedly.
And possibly killed her.
I feel like no matter how many times you reiterate it on social media or whatever, I feel like there's a lot of men who just do not grasp the reality that most women and girls exist in, like, a day-to-day world of literally almost everything around them being a rape threat.
And like, being a danger. Yeah. Right. Actually, this guy, Garfield, his handle is Smooth Orator. He's, like, a kind of reformed Twitter nigga. Like, he kind of started out being one of, like, maybe, like, the Joe Budden Twitter... not literally, but, you know, like, that kind of whatever. And it's kind of like his thoughts have evolved over years on Twitter. And he was even saying that he used to be one of those who was, like, who would say... who would. admonish women, like, how they need to protect themselves.
Yeah.
From being
Why
raped.
Are you wearing that dress?
But that was also when he thought, and this is what a lot of people still don't realize, and I think we've had these conversations a couple times on the air, and I think I've said this. The majority of women who get raped are raped by somebody they know.
Right.
Rape is not just
getting yanked in an alley or some shit.
I jumped out in the alley and got you, and fucked you up physically. Like, right. People think it's like ripped clothes, right. This and that. And he said he thought that. He was like, I used to say that when I thought rape was like the boogeyman jumped out and grabbed you. Mm-hmm. Right. He was like, once I really realized that most rape is acquaintance rape.
Right.
It's like, how you tell a woman to protect themselves from that? Like, literally, you could be at your mama's house, your grandma's house, school, the fucking mall. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
in
you
your could neighborhood, literally, whatever.
You
can
be anywhere. Husband, like,
yeah, you can be anywhere. Yeah. And on my front, at least on Twitter, the same men that I see talking about raise your girls, raise your daughters to do this, or tell these women this, or you need to be more careful about this, are the same niggas who think we're overreacting about street harassment and speaking to strangers in the street, and like, oh, you can smile, well, I don't see what the big deal is if somebody speak to you in the street, etc. And I even remember about a month or so ago, there was a story about this girl. This guy tweeted that he was taking a girl on a date, and she snapped a picture of his license plate and sent it to a friend before they went out. And niggas was like, well, then she ain't need to go out then. What the fuck? I'm like, so, but these be the same niggas. Like, it's the same people saying both things.
Protect yourself. Right.
Yeah, it's the same people saying protect yourself, but like, well, if you think I might be a serial killer, shorty, then don't go out with me. Niggas, what the fuck? That's exactly right. What the fuck we're doing.
It's all about, you gotta do your best to protect yourself so you don't get raped, except for what I'm trying to fuck.
That's
right?
The thing, like, exactly. Like, of course I'm not a rapist. I don't know you, and that's the thing, like, when in all of these admonishments to women, hey, you know what's easier than that? What's easier than that is teaching your son that no means no.
It's also
or teaching
like,
niggas that, like, you're not entitled to the pussy.
And they,
or, like,
also
like,
when I see
and
people
they know about it. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Right, yeah. And they know about it. You know how they know about it is because, like, as much as they pretend to be ignorant, these are the same niggas that'll come out and be like, oh, I'm terrified to raise a daughter. Why are you terrified to raise a daughter?
Because you know niggas
I was an asshole until I had a daughter. Right. Really? Yeah. Niggas, it took that for you to like women?
Oh, now you remember all these niggas are terrible? Or, yeah. Especially growing up in the hood, like, I knew so many dudes would be like, oh, yeah, that's that one dude that'd be wild. I'm like, why are you hanging out with that nigga?
Yeah, but that's your man.
Right.
They'd be like, yeah, that nigga crazy, but you know.
I'm like, no, he's wild. Yeah. Like, he got you kicked out of a club because you wouldn't stop grabbing some chick. And you still invite that nigga out?
Yeah, yeah. The next day y'all laughing about it. Yo, Earl be wild, man. Right, it's like, really, right. Nigga? Nah, that's not.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's not really fun.
It's all the same shit. That's why, for me, sometimes I can get really fatigued and just be like, what's even the point about repeating the same discussion? Because we can all do the, like, niggas now, like, it's like we all know on Twitter now, like, it's improper to say a certain thing. Except for some people who, like, are very insistent on being the ashiest of the ashy, right? And so you can get them and be like, no, rape is rape. Talk to your boys. Check your boys. And then, like, 3 weeks from now, we'll have another discussion about some chick doing something and be like, oh, why is she so extra?
Why she do that?
Why she Google, like, look me up on Google? Why she ask for a background check?
Yeah.
Nigga, this is why.
This is why. Yeah, and it's really not that it makes a difference whether somebody's 19 or 49, but... Yeah. To go at that about, he's a child.
Right.
Yeah.
He was in high school last year.
Yeah.
And obviously she's gone, and I'm sure was killed for doing nothing.
Right.
But being, you know, cute and maybe a little too inebriated.
Right. And it's probably
But it's still like it's her fault. Like, right. It's crazy,
that's
man.
That's awful. And it's so frustrating and it's so heartbreaking. And even in light of all these conversations, the Jamel Hill conversation, this conversation with
I was gonna bring that up next.
People can see all of this shit, and still, when black women are like, yo, we are the most attacked, you know, the least protected, whatever, black men still be all offended, like, nah, but the black man, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, no, you just don't even see it. Like,
another
whatever,
thing
you
know? I'm seeing a lot is a lot of people blaming her friends.
Yeah.
Like, your friends, but therefore, how come her friends didn't protect her? It sounds like it was a sketchy situation.
But even if her friends set her up, there was still some grown ass men who were down with it.
Well, they're not saying their friends necessarily set her up. They're just saying her friends should have protected her and not let her. That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Even if her friends were riding for her, a bunch of 17, 18 year olds against
a bunch of 27 year olds.
I've gotten my fair share of scraps. At some point, there's like folks you can't match up with. Like, that's not how that shit works.
And at that age, depending on how you grew up, you're still really learning what sexual assault means and right. what it looks like, because we don't know these girls' backstories, right?
At all.
And there's, and I mean, I know a huge number of women, and it might be different now just because of the conversations that happen on social media, but I know a huge number of women, I think I've said this before, that now look back and be like, yo, that shit that happened in high school, that shit that happened in college, that was actually assault. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that one night where you said no, and that nigga did it anyway, like, maybe he ain't fuck you up. Right. Maybe or you got over like, it afterwards.
He made you finally give in.
Yeah, you know, like, but you look back now, and you're like, no, that was actually assault. But I'm just saying, depending on what these girls' background is, mm-hmm. we don't know how they process sexual assault. We don't know how they process mm-hmm. it. So even if they weren't in on it, we can't assume, like, their instincts are going to kick in, and they're going to call hotel security, or they're going to call 911, or they're going to text for help. Or they're gonna, like, you don't know. You don't know what's happening in the moment.
Also, I remember just on a years ago when The Real World, mm-hmm. do you remember when Tammy was on there? And she was getting the covers yanked off by that other guy. And everybody went at Tammy like, you're a bitch, you got him kicked off the show. I care for him back then, I was kind of like, yeah, I was fucked up.
Well, they but now because Tammy really did start out joking.
Right. Yeah.
I remember that.
But again, even with the joking, if I'm yanking the covers off you, even if I'm joking, if you start to say, yo, chill,
you gotta chill.
You know what I'm saying? But I remember everybody just like, she became one of the most hated women in America.
Yeah, because that was the first... I mean, it was only the second season of Real World, but it was, you know, David was the first person to ever get kicked out.
Yeah, and he's black, and you know, everybody felt like they're supposed to look out for each other because they're black, but it's like, looking backwards now, it's like, anything was wrong.
Yeah.
He should have... When she finally looked like she was serious, you should have stopped. But he ain't also... we're going to keep following that case and kind of see...
Somebody else said that... What's the name of the town?
Rosemont.
The only reason that the police are going to follow up on it is because it's got national attention now. Mm-hmm. They said, I don't know how true this is, but the person who tweeted it is from Rosemont, and I want to actually say it was a verified account, like she's a writer mm-hmm. or something, or a journalist. She said there literally was a serial killer of black women in Rosemont. Like, every time it was the same thing. Body of a black woman, same body type, same look, found in a dumpster, set on fire. Every time the police said it was an isolated incident. Every single time.
Because it's a suburb of Chicago. It's white out there.
And finally, they found a man set on fire in a dumpster, and then the body stopped. So she was like, clearly somebody must have solved it. And she mm-hmm. said when she was coming up, there was a white van that was snatching kids. Everybody had the same description of the van, same everything.
Out there in Rosemont?
Yeah. Police ignored it. And finally, they found the van set on fire. Mm-hmm. The hood niggas got to... You know what I mean? But she was like, they might get on this because it's got national attention, mm-hmm. but they don't give a fuck. And again, the police, when the mom first went to the police to try to get access to the video camera,
the mom said they were acting like
missing persons. They weren't even given, like,
nothing.
Looking at the camera for the hotel.
Yeah, the hotel said she had to call the police. The police told her to file a missing persons report.
If I'm not mistaken, she said they almost arrested them, basically for, like, not leaving.
Causing the scene,
not leaving.
And she said it took hours for them to let her see her daughter's body. Like, it was all kind of rigmarole.
So, we're going to keep following that. I want to talk about Spelman College in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It was another story, but that's not confirmed, so I ain't going to bring that up. But they are the second exclusively for women black college to change and start admitting transgender students. This fall, and they're going to do it in the fall of 2019. Mm-hmm. Bennett College did it already in January.
Transgender women.
Yes.
So what their language says, and I need to read up on it because this language is pretty broad. The language I saw says self-identified, if you self-identify as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see specification of like pre-op, post-op, whatever.
How do y'all feel about this?
I have mixed feelings. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think personally it's great.
Yeah.
I think they should have done it. I know that they debated about it for years, like the board, mm-hmm. you know, boards of HBCUs tend to be historically really old guard.
And very conservative.
Right. I mm-hmm. mean, look at Morehouse. I mean, trans discussions aside, Morehouse had a huge thing with like...
Oh, when the boys are wearing the heels?
Yeah.
Well, I hope I don't cause no ruckus here. To each his or her own.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. When the boys at Morehouse started to do the heels thing, some of them just really OD. Like, they walk around with, like, 8-inch pumps and skirts. They really pushed the line of what a conservative institution could handle. I'm not saying they were right or I'm not saying they were right or wrong, well, also, but they was. It was almost like they was like, we're gonna take it as far as we can take it to fuck
and
with y'all.
Well, with Morehouse and with Morehouse, I kind of get it because even if you're not, even if you're just a regular dude, there are still like dress codes and standards at Morehouse because it's supposed to uphold certain. Whatever. You still can't just be dressed any kind of way, any kind of time. Like, on certain days for certain classes, like, sometimes you have to have a jacket and a tie and this and that. For Spelman, my concern, I hope that's the right word, my concern is that entering freshmen are, like, 18, 19. Maybe as young as 17. Yeah. Like, I was 17 when I went into college, right? At that age, very few people have already completely transitioned. They might be considering that's really it. Young. They might be considering it. They might be in a kind of non-binary place. They might be a little bit fluid. They might be trying to figure it out. Either way, I think that's a very young age. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, so I'm not trying to judge. I feel like that's a very young age at which you can say, as a freshman coming into college, like, well, sometimes you don't even figure out your sexuality until you're in college, like, for real, for real. To say coming into college, like, this is my identity, right? So to put them in this very female space, I don't know. I guess I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's necessary, and I think that times have to evolve, right?
I think the reason why they're waiting until 2019 is because when you want to be trans inclusive in general, right, there are certain measures you have to take, right? So, like, for example, you have to make sure that however you classify them, or them sounds like a bad term, but however you include them, right, you're not necessarily outing them as trans people. Not all trans women want to be outed as trans women in the first place. Two, if they feel uncomfortable, of course, exposing themselves for a lot of reasons. One, largely for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. If they may contain male genitalia, that means that they're going to need to have safe spaces to get ready or change or whatever that may not necessarily already exist. Right. I've never been to the Spelman freshman dorms, but I know most college freshman dorms
are a free-for-all,
right?
Yeah.
So you may need to create accommodations for that.
I was going to ask about that. How's the bathroom situation?
Just like, you know, the jobs I've worked at, the last few jobs I've worked at, they are trans inclusive spaces, and we have gender.
So what does that mean, trans inclusive spaces? What does that?
So it means that
it basically means you have what we used to call a co-ed bathroom.
So the trans person who's transitioned from male to female,
right?
But maybe still hasn't got the final frontier done,
right?
Where would they use the restroom?
And it's a
separate trans bathroom.
Yeah, most of them are your gender neutral bathroom. Not like
also said, anybody could go in.
Well, we used to call it co-ed bathroom.
Right, exactly.
Right.
I got you. All right. Okay.
Well, some of them will use the bathroom and they figured out because they've had to live long enough to figure it
to
out.
Know
well,
how to.
You know what I mean?
And then trans people have been doing this forever.
So as a woman, did a trans person going from male to female, but again, not having everything fully done in the bathroom, which you did, it make you uncomfortable?
First of all, I've never seen a woman's genitals.
Yeah, why would you?
In my life.
Oh, yeah, because it's
genitals.
Yeah,
true.
Yes, yeah.
One way or the other. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, true. Y'all got stalls for everything.
Trans people have been doing this for a very long time. They figure it out. I mean, I guess my concern was like what you were saying, like you're talking about the dorms and. And again, I'm sure that there have been some trans college students that have been figuring this out. But like usually in a freshman dorms usually have the least amount of privacy. They're the most communal. Mm-hmm. Like you have a communal bathroom and shower area. You got to get your little shower shoes and your little shower cap and you go to the, you know
to
what
the,
I mean? Like
the
whole
bathroom
thing.
At the end of the hall.
Yeah. And there, you don't have private rooms. You don't have, so.
Yeah, we need to have doors on our stalls when I first went to school.
That's a lot.
It was raw.
That's a lot.
Like, yo, everybody got close because you can't front on a nigga after you see the nigga taking a shit.
That's a lot.
That's a human rights violation.
Yo, that shit was raw. Ask you, yo, bro, I ran out of toilet paper.
That's too much.
Yeah, those are all considerations.
Nah, nothing. The door was just right there, fam. Oh, yo, what up, B? What's going on? Yo, you got any more toilet paper?
That's prison situations. That's not acceptable.
It was raw. It was raw. It was raw.
Yeah, no. It definitely requires thought, and I hope they include queer and trans leaders while they're thinking it through in the next 2 years. But it is, while it's going to be difficult, doesn't mean it shouldn't be done, right?
And I'm sure they're also going to confer with Bennett College, because Bennett's already done it.
Right.
So I'm sure Bennett's had, you know, they could tell them, oh, you know, we didn't think about this. Right. Like, make sure you think
and
about
also,
that.
And also, I think it should be stated that while not everyone, but I know a lot of people, you know, transphobia and has all this crazy fear of like even the more conservative people, like the trans community is actually really, really small.
Yeah.
Like there's not going to be fall of 2019 this crazy influx.
40,000.
Like the population in itself, statistically speaking, is just not high enough for that to happen, right?
Yeah.
So
Delta also recently at our convention this year.
Y'all got some trans members?
I mean, I'm sure. I don't know that we have. I don't think we have any openly trans members, or at least not trans activist members. But we're changing the rules of our constitution and bylaws to admit trans women. But I think I might misspeak. So, Soros, if I'm misspeaking, I'm putting this out there first. I might be misspeaking, but I think that for us, it has to be post transition.
Okay.
Like transition completed.
I remember back in the day in Jet Magazine, they would always have these stories like, woman dies, church mother dies, and revealed she was a man the whole time, because back then they had died.
What do you think about some of those awful ass stories? You know
basically hide it your whole life.
I mean,
and you know.
Yeah, a lot of people still
she was
do.
Married. How could she not know she was a woman? It's like, well, wasn't a woman. Well, maybe he did.
Right.
And he was.
And they didn't
want
to
talk about it. A lot of these people. Do know, but that's a
whole different animal.
I just
thought it was interesting. Like, it's, I guess we'll see how far it spreads, because obviously these are women's colleges, but
right.
I wonder if it's going to spread to more. I guess Morehouse is the only all male
black
school.
College, is it?
Yeah,
there might be one other, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Morehouse is only black, only one, I believe, only all black male, but obviously it's going to spread to
all colleges
eventually, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are probably some white colleges that have already been putting these practices in place, and maybe they just didn't.
The more liberal ones.
Because a lot of the women's colleges are super liberal. So I'm sure, like, Smith and Barnard and stuff
Sarah
like that.
Lawrence.
I've already had to do that, because they also tend to be a bed for, like, womenist movements and LGBTQ movements.
It's a new world out here, man. I want to mention some one more thing that I actually forgot about. But so a couple weeks ago, because we didn't talk about this, the Lonzo Ball thing.
Which Lonzo Ball thing?
not LeVar. That's the dad. He's bananas. But I'm not going to get into him, because we've discussed him. But a couple weeks ago, Lonzo Ball was interviewed for somebody. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, he said something about Nas being whack.
Yeah, he said it wasn't whack. He just they asked him, does he listen to real hip hop? I don't know if I'm being verbatim, but it was something around that. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Nas came up and he was like, Nas ain't real hip hop. Real hip hop is Future and the Migos.
Mm-hmm. How old
and
is he? He's like,
he's 19 years
right.
old.
Right. So for him, that is real.
But it causes huge ruckus on the Twitter. I actually went back and forth with a couple dudes for a minute, then I just checked out. Because I was like, that's what you said, because you know I am with the youth. I'm like, dude, he's 19. Nas is like 42 years old. Nas is his dad.
Yeah.
Literally.
Nas is going to put him to sleep.
Yeah, but Nas is his father. Why would you expect a 19-year-old to listen to a 40-something-year-old artist that intensely? Like,
right.
It's not his wave. His wave is Migos and Uzi and Future and you know, so on and so on. But
folks don't realize how much they sound like their parents. Whatever when they have these conversations. Because I remember in the 90s or whatever, be like, I don't
that ain't enough. No real music.
I don't give a fuck about Sugar Hill Gang or Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five or all these slick rig ass raps. Be like, I was walking down the street and I hear
and I brought that up. I was like,
it's
yo,
like
man.
We just said, nah, that wasn't for us. Like, you know,
I brought that up. I was like, come on, B, don't act like when you was young, you was rocking Run DMC.
Right.
And he was like, no, I did though, but I knew what it was. I was like,
lying.
First of all, you lying, number one.
Right.
And then number two, if you did, that don't mean that he will.
Right.
That was you.
Honestly, even if we did, it was because.
Wait, do your rap thing again. Do the walking duck. I like that. That was hard. That was hard.
Even if we did, it was because some of the first wave of rap was starting to be sampled in our shit.
Right.
I do think that's one thing we did that I don't really see younger rap fans do as hard. We actually had a curiosity for where our samples came from.
Right.
You don't think so? Because I know suddenly hot on my parents' jazz collection.
There was a curiosity, but the curiosity came because those was the records that your parents would play when they'd have people would play cards, right, or when your mother was cleaning in the morning or whatever. There was different situations where we'd hear Al Green and Marvin Gaye. Those records are not, I try to tell people, like, dude, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. It's like 40 years old, man. Like, these records are really old. I think people don't really put in context how old some of these songs are. Yeah. So you can't expect a 19-year-old to know a record from 1975.
It's ridiculous. But what I'm saying is that when I was 19...
But it was closer in time. That's why it was more people interested, because it was from your childhood.
Maybe just one generation removed.
Now it's like three or four generations.
But like when Today Was a Good Day came out, all of a sudden everybody wanted to pull out that Footsteps album. You know what I mean?
And it's because a lot of people knew it because their dad would play it in the house or in the car or whatever. Now the Footsteps album came out, I think, in like 75.
Right.
We just shifted the reference points, right? Exactly. So now there is this era, right, of like the Joey Badasses and all that like to pull from older music, but they're older put of reference in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So to us, it's like, that's our reference point. So we're like, no, this is not the real.
I heard a Tony, Whatever You Want sample, and I hated the song so bad. I was so mad about it.
Yo, you'd be surprised.
Because I love that song. That's my favorite Tony song, and I was like, this song is trash. Right.
But you'd be surprised, again, also when I hear, read, people have that argument, I immediately say, you don't talk to kids.
Right. I have because, a 20-year-old brother.
Yeah,
so
and of course, because of what I do, I'm around young kids all the time.
Right.
You'd be stunned what they consider old school.
Right.
Like, Mary J. Blige is their version of Aretha Franklin. That's old.
All you gotta do is listen to the old school at noon. You will hear all your shit from high school and college. Right. You'll be so quickly checked.
The old school that was like, humbling ass point when they're like, we about to play a throwback. You're like, but this wasn't that long ago.
I was in the club when this show started. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Shit from early 2000 is getting played on old school.
Yeah, Nelly. That's the early Destiny's Child. Yeah. That's old school to a 19-year-old kid.
Yo, I did the playlist on this weekend on the early, like the first era of hip hop and R&B collabs, and this dude replied, like, one of the joints I mentioned was "Hey Lover" with LL and Boyz II Men, and you know it's a "Lady in My Life" sample, and this guy was like, "What's the title of this song?" And I was like, "Nigga, what? You don't know this song?"
No.
I was like, even if you don't know. But he was like, "No, I know it. I don't know the name of it." That annoyed me because it says "Hey Lover" 80,000 times in the hook. Right. But I was like, "It's called Hey Lover." But he was like, "No, I mean, I kind of knew it." He was like, "I'm 23. And I was like, okay, fine.
You know, just have to realize that it's not as tied to iconic moments for them. I remember, what was it, 2 years ago, I threw a Super Bowl party at my place. And my brother came through. He was like around on like summer break or whatever.
How old was he at this time? Probably
he was like 17. Probably 17. He just started school. It was his freshman year. He just come back for like mid semester break. And he came through the crib, hanging out with my friends or whatever. And this was the year that Katy Perry had the halftime
show and brought
Missy in. So all my girls and even the dudes, like, we're hype. We all love Missy, right? And Katy Perry had got out the way and just let Missy do her thing, which I was happy about, right? So all hype and, like, you know, my brother's like, oh, yeah, this is cool. But, you know, like, he's not gassed like we are, right? And I'm just like, are you serious? Like, you don't remember when, like, working job? This is, like, because she did, like, the big hits. She didn't do like the hits when she was working heavy, like before. She wasn't doing like all the stuff that, like, you know, like "I Can't Stop the Rain" and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, she did like the big things that became mainstream. So I'm thinking, you have to know this. And he said, but it was a Shmira. Like, "Work It" dropped in 01.
Yeah.
I was born in 97. And I was like,
which is me, you know,
4 years old.
Like, first of all, don't remind me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't play me like that.
That's like the people who are like, what do you mean Wild Wild Thoughts was a sample? And I had to check myself because Greg, my boyfriend's daughter, hit us.
How old is she?
Like, she's 21. And she hit us with this Instagram post that was about, like, where are the people who did Maria Maria today? And she hit us with it like she was putting us on to some shit. And I'm like, That song was a monster. Now, yeah, but I also had to remember. I was like, okay, but
that song's as old as
she
her.
Was like, yeah, she was like, I legit never heard this song before.
Yeah, the song was probably 21 years old. Yeah.
It would be interesting to see if they did like if they continue doing like samples of songs that were like everywhere, but like the group never really continued. Like, imagine if like Khaled did like a sample of like that City High song that was here.
What would you what do? Would you do? In the cold?
That's a classic to some people.
Right? I know, like, but again, that song's old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So. I just thought that was kind of interesting to see the old grumpy.
Yeah, man. I didn't understand the outrage.
Well, because the niggas is old and grumpy, so like they always get mad.
Folks don't accept that we're not the target group for music anymore.
And they always get mad at me because they I think a lot of them assume I'm gonna be on their side.
Right.
Like, why are you not mad like me? I'm like, because I'm not out of the loop like you.
I am perfectly okay with embracing my get off the lawnness and being like, y'all little niggas don't know nothing about no music. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with saying that. I'm fine with thinking that. It's fine.
I do think, to hear you get off the lawn point, if you do seek to get into music, I think it serves you, does you a service to actually learn what you're getting into, right?
Yeah.
These, like, little, you know, I'm trying to get hypey or get light in the street or whatever, like, fine. Whatever.
Well, I think that was my point about us being interested in samples. And I mean, you have a valid point where it was stuff that was at least remotely familiar to us. But, and maybe it's because, even back then, I guess because hip hop was coming, like all of us were all aspiring rappers and producers and whatever. No matter what you did, you thought you had some talent. You thought you knew something, right? But that was like a thing. It was like a point of pride to be like, you don't know this sample, you don't know this reference, you don't even know that. You know, like really go back and forth on that. And I think with this, with the modern production, like with Metro Boomin and stuff like that. First of all, they don't
sample.
There's not as much sampling as there used to be, period, right? Yeah. There's not as much sampling. It's not as technical. It's not like even like the engineering aspect of it. So there's not as much, to me, there's not as much musicality to get into and to really talk about. So these kids aren't necessarily really studying the music. They just vibing and listening to it. And that may be an oversimplification,
I'm not in the music business, so I could be like super out of left field, but some of the conversations I've had with people who are like sampling kind of went out the window.
Well,
like the last few, right? Because it costs too much.
You know, your money to some guy living in a house in Ohio, and now he's getting all the checks, and your ass is getting killed. But anyway, so yeah, so you know, whatever, man. Migos, I can't wait for the Migos out. This is going to end this show with an extensive review of, minutes or so of Insecure, the season finale, and also we could talk a little bit about what happened throughout the season. So, season finale was Sunday past, was 45 minutes long.
And late.
The
show was on so late.
Yeah, it came on, man. They came on like 11 almost,
yeah,
because
they premiered The Deuce.
I watched it the next day, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I was watching football, and I just kept kind of, like, clicking. I'm cool on that. I'm not interested.
I only watched it. I went to the Deuce, so I'm cool.
But anyway, so, of course, a lot of talk, a lot of controversy, a lot of interesting twists and turns and cliffhangers. Interesting way they did the show, where they kind of picked...
It was three
main characters. It was like 30 Days of Issa, 30 Days of Lawrence, 30 Days of Molly, and kind of
from their point of views.
I mean, they were definitely kind of like intertwined with the others throughout.
And then
the 30
like the
days.
Last 15 minutes was the kind of more
traditional, undertone. There was an undertone of gentrification all throughout the show and change all throughout the show. Starts off with Molly Issa walking, finding out that a store that she used to go to wasn't there anymore, and she's seen all these stores built, boarded up, and somebody calls her neighborhood Iwood
instead of Inglewood,
like they doing So Bro and So Ha and wherever else they calling black areas. But it was I thought a very well done show. So I saw you, Sham, basically saying that you hate everybody on the show.
Everybody's a
piece of shit. And you ain't fucking with none of them. So please expound.
So, I mean, as you pointed out, I've definitely been very vocal about my gripes with the show. I think I think sometimes we exchange entertaining for good, and I know that sounds really mean. I think the show has a lot of promising parts, which is why I keep watching it, but I keep getting frustrated by certain things.
Give me one of your frustrations.
I think my biggest frustration is that, and I don't know if it's intentional on the show's part or not, is that instead of, like, fleshing out these characters fully, they leave them as these, like, blank projections for people to put onto people. Mm-hmm. And so that's why on Monday there's all these days of discussions, because people aren't really talking about the character. Yeah. They're talking about what their impression of the character
is. I think that might be intentional, right, because I think the writers are smart enough to know that this is a critique.
Right.
And they really have, with the exception of Molly this season, they really have left a lot out with all of them. Like,
yeah, Molly got a lot. We got Molly's family.
We got Molly's brother. You know, her child. A little bit of
a situation with her family. With the parents' marriage.
We still have never seen Issa's parents. We don't know her story.
Yeah, when her brother popped up, it was like, who's that? She got a brother? You know what I'm saying?
We know she's from L.A.
Right.
But where are her parents at? You know what I mean?
Wasn't her mom, didn't her mom play her mom?
Last season at
the pool party.
Right.
No, but her mom didn't play her mom. Her mom played played a donor.
But didn't
but that was somebody, her real mom. Nobody played her mom.
Her mom has
We haven't seen a parent. Her real mom played a donor.
Okay, I got
And with Lawrence, we know even less. Like,
Lawrence, we don't know nothing.
Well, now we know he went to Georgetown.
Right.
Now
which tells me he's probably from the East Coast.
Right. Now we know he might have some dope, because nigga was driving a Jag. We were like, where did that come from?
Or his job.
No, he had the job season one. Like,
yeah, season one.
He had the same.
He had been in that job for like a month. He been in the job like 6 months. Nigga, buy a car first week.
Nigga, walking in with his work ID, talking about I need a car.
like, come on, in LA, whatever. So I think, but we still don't. We don't know nothing
about him.
So I think these things are on. I have to think these things are on purpose, and I have to think that it is to kind of let, and I also think it might be for us, we already overanalyze these characters so much. I think that they actually want to let us do that, and they want us to operate.
Oh yeah, they love the social media.
But they also want us to operate off of their behavior and not be like, well, Lisa had daddy issues, and then the mama was like, and then this was like, and then her household was like, you know what I mean? I think they're trying, because that's what we did with Molly. As soon as we were like, oh, Molly had her parents' marriage up on a pedestal, and that's why she's doing this and that and the third. But, like, her brother's a fuck-ups. You know what I mean? So, I think... she called them fuck-ups. She said that one of them is 26 with no driver's license, and the other one's like...
I don't even know where 20...
Anyway, but I do think that next season, now that we've gotten past...
So this chapter of Ethan Lawrence, is Lawrence on there next season?
I think he's a recurring character.
But
I don't think the Lawrence Issa chapter is done. I'm not even saying I want them back together, but I don't think it's that final. And if they get rid of Lawrence, they are letting go of a large male viewership draw. Yeah. So I think he's a recurrent character. I don't think we're following him like we followed him this season. But I think he's recurrent. I think that next season is about Tiffany and Kelly, definitely Tiffany, because they set her up with the pregnancy. Some other little, they sprinkled some other little shit in there. And Kelly, because Kelly's like on her shit now. Mm. And I think we still continue to see what the fuck is going on with Molly.
So let me ask this question. Have either one of you done what Molly did, which is sacrifice a potential, you know, we don't know what would happen, but seemingly potential good relationship for some great dick?
Good relationship is going too far.
I said potential.
No, let's say it's differently.
Just good.
Throw over the good nigga that you're just not into for the nigga that's no good for you that you are into. Because
have either one of you done that?
She just wasn't physically attractive.
Right. I'm just asking if either one of you have done
that. Every woman's done that. I can say 100% everyone. And I can say that most men have friend zone the chick who is a good girl and really into them for a bad bitch.
Right. And I think both of them are ugly, which is the ultimate problem.
Both of them are what?
Both Drow and
Laurel. Yeah, a lot of people think Drow is ugly, but Drow has a certain, I guess.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean physically?
Yeah, I'm not attracted.
You was killing Drow. You was killing Drow.
Man, he looks like, you know,
everybody saying he looks like one of the dude from the Monstars.
You was killing Drow. You was killing Drow.
It's not for me, whatever.
But were you surprised at her doing that?
I'm not surprised. I thought it was
Were you surprised that she fucked up?
No. She was trying to make it happen.
I was surprised she fucked Lil Rel, but I thought that was an unnecessary misdirect. I hated how they set it up. But Molly, the way they've constructed the character, it makes sense that Molly did it.
I think Molly fucked Rel because she was trying to see if she could make some chemistry happen. Like, she was really like, this dude feels me. This could make sense. Because I've been in that situation too, whereas the dude who kind of is the good dude, he's really into you. He's really nice. You're not feeling him. You want to be feeling him. You wish you could be feeling him. You kind of try to make yourself feel him. It usually doesn't really work. And I think that's what she was trying to do. And then I guess
his penis thought the interesting misdirect was when Molly was in the
bed. I knew that was Dro as soon as they didn't show who she was in the bed with.
And right. She was like, you play too much.
Right. I knew that was Dro. I'm like,
was that Rel? Well,
I knew it. As soon as they didn't show who it was, I was like, that's going to be Dro.
Exactly.
I knew it.
So, looks aside. Mm-hmm. You're fucking hilarious. Looks aside.
Like, every time people talk about the charcoal, I'm like, but Lil Rel's not attractive. Like, I don't understand what the problem
is. Okay, and then
Dro. She also didn't seem impressed by the sex. I think that's an important point.
That too.
And but meanwhile, Dro's putting his game down.
Right.
And that's what got her. So she's basically like,
bathtub and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, so you think she's basically like, look, it is what it is for now, and I'm just going to rock out until I figure this out or something happens. So do you think that, because we never found out if Dro was lying.
Right.
Do you think he's lying? Been lying about this open relationship?
I think at minimum it's going to come out that his wife is not cool with it.
With the openness like maybe she knows about it, but Molly?
Like, with Molly at minimum, right? Like, even if they're open, because like, I mean,
that was my thought too. If anything, he's lying about Molly.
That's not my steez or whatever, but I have had friends who've been in those situations. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's always rules, right? And those rules are always clearly communicated. And, like, the fact that he's never even... And maybe this is supposed to be, like, a fill-in-the-blank thing, but I really doubt it. The fact that it's not clearly communicated, like, oh, this is this life, and this is this, and this is how it works. And, like, just dumb shit. Like, why are you fucking her, like, at the birthday party, like, there? Like, it's just silly. It's reckless. Too much. And it's like, if that is a situation, you wouldn't be like, basically be treated like a side chick, right? Yeah. Like, there's a level of engagement that I feel like isn't there.
That's well, just, I think... Basically, he's slutting around.
Yeah, well, we talked about this, I think, last week or week before last, where there's two schools of thought. There's a school of thought that, like, his marriage is not open at all, and he's just cheating. And there's a school of thought that his marriage is open, but Molly, considering Molly is a friend, and they grew up together,
she
probably crosses a line. So he's probably not, his wife probably does not know he's fucking
Molly. Because one thing is like, oh, you're on an out-of-town trip, and you smash whatever, you didn't use a condom, you don't need to tell me every single time or whatever, versus like...
But this becomes a different thing, because you're really having a whole other relationship. Or at least
they have a relationship. They like be chilling out. Yeah. So... What did we think about Issa and Lawrence's, last conversations and then the flashback scenes? And how did you feel about all that? Were you mad still at that part?
I wasn't mad. Yo, why are you making me sound?
Because you'd be on Twitter like, all these people are fucking whack. I hate all these people.
I actually thought that was maybe one of the best scenes of the entire series.
Yeah, it's very well done.
I thought it was really well written. I thought it was really well done. I thought that anyone who's ever been in a serious relationship like for a long amount of time can understand how that conversation happens when you even had that conversation right,
even if you're not going to stay together you need to have that conversation.
A lot of people seem confused about the I love yous, and I was like, really? I've had those I love yous.
You see, you broke up with them and you gotta hate each other.
I've had those, your feelings just don't turn off what I mean, it just does it. And if you were in love, maybe you still love the person way after, even if you don't know.
You can love a person and know that y'all just can't. It's not going to work.
And what'd you think about, did the flashback catch you off guard when
I knew it was a flashback immediately. When he asked her to marry? I feel like I've had those thoughts of when you realize the relationship's ending, in your head, you think about everything that would have happened together, and it's not. So I never thought it was real.
I knew it was a flashback because they were still in that damn apartment.
That's true.
You already moved out by then.
Because at first I was like, what's happening? I was like, oh, they still in the apartment. This is a flashback. I mean, this is a dream. Issa has such an active...
Especially since Laura's got that big in your apartment
Issa has such an active... We're saying flashback, but I knew it was a dream because Issa has such an active imagination.
Right.
That when he first proposed... Matter of fact, I tweeted it. When he first proposed, I was like, wait, what? I was like, oh, please let Issa be dreaming. Please, please, please. And then when I saw that they were staying in an apartment, I was like, oh, this is a dream.
Right.
Because there's no fucking way.
Poor Aparna, though. Yeah. She had to get out of the middle of the freeway.
Aparna about their life, though.
Yeah, I was still...
You're not with her?
I don't there's something about Aparna. There's something about Aparna. And there was like something about her whole vibe.
Her vibe was off a little bit.
What was wrong with it?
So first of all, I don't understand. Like, no. I don't understand
how she moves. Like,
that's it.
In the workplace.
Why? Because fucking niggas at the job.
Fucking multiple people in that little ass right. open office ass space.
You know, like, I get that Lords was
and everybody knows. It's right. not just like you fucking it, but like everybody knows you fucking niggas.
Right.
It's messy.
Right. And so, like, she invited herself to, like, the... I mean, listen, to Lords should have been like...
That part was whack.
Laura should have been like, it's a bad idea.
Right. Yeah, like I'll see you later, Mom.
And she's been the aggressor through this whole shit. Because even when Lawrence was kind of like trying to keep shit low or trying to be easy, she'd be like, oh, that's what's the problem. You know, so it's like, yeah.
I mean, I dug her. I thought she was, like you said,
she seemed like a cool chick. I wasn't necessarily like rooting for like,
no, yeah, I don't think anybody was rooting for the relationship, but yeah. I dug her, like you said, she definitely was aggressive, you know, but I dug her because
she's like a nigga.
She's like a dude, exactly. Yeah, she was like nigga. Look, nigga, like, what's up? Right. Like, what we doing? Like,
but she was like a nigga even when it came to her interacting with a dude she fucked. Like, first of all, like, okay, so to go back.
I kind of respect when that, when we though. First... I respect but if you, that, though.
Some people do, but not everybody can take that. And Lawrence is definitely not a dude who can take that.
Well, that's on him.
But going back to the first thing, right? I remember this, and I might be wrong, but I pretty much remember it being that Aparna was supposed to have fucked dude one night because they were drunk.
Right.
Then they're at dinner, and she's like, yeah, every time it happened, we were drunk. Yeah. And he's like, wait, what?
Happened more than once.
And then he's like, well, it must have been something if you just kept fucking him. And she's like, no, you're really funny. So That's actually kind of, to be like, no, he's really funny and he's smart or whatever. Like, funny and smart gets a lot of draws. Mm-hmm. So, you not making another nigga feel better, being like, I'm fucking this nigga because he's funny and smart. And then the next day, you in the office like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Right. You know, all up in dude's face. So, I'm not caping for Lawrence by any means. But I can understand, like, you're in a smart. They're a staff of, like, 15 people, looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but he played himself in the car, though. When he like was like, oh, so and so must be really funny and like.
Yeah, he said that like wild, reckless. Didn't even check the message. Like, look over and see who she was. Well, texting.
And I respected her for just jumping out the ride. Like, I'm done. Said, I'm not fucking with this. Shit
I need
no
to
more.
Rewatch this, and I just couldn't do it on Sunday. Somebody said that she didn't just. I heard her say, "I've been here before."
Yeah.
But somebody she said, "I've been here with you before." So I was thinking about the fact that it's the span of 30 days. Because remember, we're getting glimpses
of a month,
but there's possibly some other stuff that's happened in that time frame, so maybe like this was a back and forth thing with them.
Maybe
for
he was
or
just
something.
Done. Yeah, I'm not into it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I was really kind of interested in.
Issa ended up at what's his face's crib.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. Man. Well, now it's okay.
That
okay, okay. So what's that about?
I don't know.
And you think they'll be fucking?
I don't know. Probably.
Because she walked in saying, "I'm sleeping on the couch."
I feel like Daniel should like have his her number of do not disturb at this point.
Yeah, I'm saying I was shocked that he like. Was about that.
But that's
I'm
the other
like,
thing. I think Daniel and Issa, I think Daniel's thing with Issa, the reason why Daniel can't understand why Issa is tripping is the same thing. They've known each other since like middle school or elementary school. So they just fucked for the first time when they smashed at the studio. So I think that's his thing. Like, I think Issa is his homegirl first. Mm-hmm. And whereas with Issa, because she's always had a thing for him, her shit is a little more complicated. I think with him, even if they fucking, they doing whatever, Issa's his homegirl first. And that's why he couldn't understand why she didn't call him after the shit. And I think, if you ever notice, Daniel's whole approach to her is very kind of, you're doing a lot. Like, why are you doing a lot? Like, it's always, right. like, he always seems very puzzled by her energy. Like, why are you being extra? And I think that's why, because he's kind of like, nigga, what?
It's me.
Why? You know, right. exactly. And so I actually think it's possible... If Issa really is trying to like move forward, it's possible they could cohabitate, just be on some homeboy homegirl shit. But I don't think it's impossible.
Possible, but the thing is, what I didn't like about that is, okay, so she obviously like you know started you know flirting with Daniel and had him around last season and ended up fucking him in the studio, right? And then the text and shit kept going or whatever, and then this season they you know was still getting down. So it's kind of like I would always think, yeah, you really did like this nigga and you was fucking him throughout we was together because you didn't just fuck him once.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You kept kind of coming back to him.
But she didn't go back.
But she didn't cut him out of her. But she didn't cut him out of her life. Is what
she
I'm saying.
She did until she ran into him.
Yeah, into the diner. They weren't speaking.
I know, but when she saw him at the diner, that wasn't his, supposed to be entree right back in. Even I mean, if it wasn't really that like was that.
So but no, too. But I have a question. If her and Lawrence had done at that point, they were done. Like she done found out about Tasha. She done found out all the hope she had of her and Lawrence getting back together was a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It's been months at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Molly then told her that she talked to Lawrence, and Lawrence was not.
Everybody thought Molly lied.
I don't know why.
I know people thought
because the way they shot the scene, made
we didn't see the conversation. But I don't know why. I still don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why Molly would lie like that. Like,
because somebody said Molly said something at some point to prove that she was lying, and I don't remember what it was. But anyway,
well, stuff like even like Molly looking at Lawrence during that birthday scene, and like if I'm like your best homegirl and you leave upset. I'm not going to tell, like, your ex to, like, go out and comfort you, right? And, like, she clearly gestured at him to go out. Like, it's stuff like that where it's like, this don't make no sense.
Yeah, but, yeah. Well, and also, like, if she lied, I would think that she would be trying to, like, make sure that they didn't talk to find out that.
Possibly.
She lied.
So, anyway, but back to the Daniel thing. Okay, so Molly and Daniel, Molly was trying not to talk to Daniel at all, period, even when Daniel showed up and blew her spot up and she lost her man. Like, she was already trying to just ignore him. Not talking to him. She don't see him. She don't whatever. They run into each other. It's months later. She done lost her man. She's been told her man don't want her back. She done found out her man was fucking somebody else in a whole other relationship the way her girls told her. A whole other girlfriend. Why, when she runs into dude, is they able to reconcile?
Should she not fuck him?
Should she not fuck him? Should he not be an option?
He could
just
be an option.
Just because of what Lawrence might think?
But yeah, well...
If she's under the impression that there's no way
Lawrence
to get back together,
yeah.
Why
okay, let me ask this question and let me flip it back on y'all before we wind the show up.
Right.
Does that work the other way?
Because if we're not getting together,
and you find out that the girl that I fucked that made you leave me. I started fucking with her again.
I mean, it's
you're not tripping
like,
on that.
It's insult to injury, but yeah. What am I gonna do? I have niggas. Who married the bitch they fucked around on my friends on.
Legit. Well, that's different then.
How?
Because you took it all the way.
Okay. I'm just saying.
You took it all the way. Okay,
so
well,
I mean, yes.
You married
so
the nigga.
So that's legitimate. You fucked around for real love, right?
This nigga was your real love. You ain't really love me. You obviously really love me because now you got his babies and you're paying the mortgage. So
yes,
it's
self injury, but here's the thing. If I tried to make amends and if the nigga tried to make amends and tried to come back to you and he was like, no, fuck you, no, I don't want you, no, I'm moving on. You dating somebody else and doing whatever. I will be mad, but I can't be mad. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like you gotta
be
salty personally.
I will be mad personally
you gotta eat that.
Just because it's human nature, but I have no... Especially, like, Issa tried to make it right. She tried to make it right with Lawrence. Like, she was trying to get that nigga back. She was going to his job. She
that ain't making it right. That's stalking.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. And she made it clear to him that she wanted to work it out. He said no. He moved on. He started dating somebody else. Her girl came to her and told her it was
Tasha.
Never going to happen.
That was my boo, Tasha.
And she didn't date for a couple of months either.
Yeah, like she didn't do shit. And then she was like, I'm being a hoe phase. And she just happened to run into Daniel with her hoe phase. And she wasn't fucking him exclusively. She was trying to put him in a rotation.
I'm still mad about that. That nigga that looks like a Lollipop Girl version of Mace.
Yeah, he's not cute. Like, I still think he's cute.
Oh, Jellybean Head Eddie?
Daniel looks funny. Yeah, that nigga looks slow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my thing is like, I can understand Lawrence's feelings on it because Lawrence doesn't know any context. So yeah, he just opens social media and see her in the background with him at the Waffle House or whatever. But like she said, like, nigga, you can't fuck me while you dating some whole other bitch.
That was a mistake.
That was terrible.
So look, my predictions for next season is this is how I would write it with me. I would like to see, and not from a sexual standpoint, but I would just love to see how Twitter will blow up if we see a threesome with Dro, his wife, and Molly.
I don't think.
I'd love that. Because
I don't think Yvonne Orji is going to do that.
No, I mean, she could do a sex scene without actually doing a sex. I'm
I know,
saying,
but, like, it's one thing to have her fucking around. It's another thing to have her in a threesome.
We don't have to even have the sex scene. They could just wake up in the bed together. I'm not saying we have to have the actual
But that's
actions.
Not how open relationships work.
No, what I'm saying is that would just prove that Dre wasn't lying and that his wife was with it.
But that's not how open relationships work.
Well, that's how their open relationship works.
That's like I said last week, polyamory and open relationships are two different things.
I don't know about all these damn definitions.
Open relationships.
All I'm saying,
unless she get to bring a nigga home, why is he bringing a bitch home?
She's fucking niggas if it's open.
No, but I mean, what? So
if it's open, she's fucking too. That but that's not appealing to me. To me, I'm just telling you what I want to see. No, stop fucking on my way.
No, but see, you didn't pose it like that. You're like, he's so interesting.
Let me do my wave, please. Let me do my wave. I want to see them wake up in the bed together to prove that the nigga Dro wasn't lying.
But that doesn't prove it. Because open relationships, but see, this is why.
Let me do my thing. I'm not
open
finished.
Open relationships do not mean I can bring you home and you and my wife fuck me and it's good.
Whatever.
Also, Molly wouldn't do that shit.
We'll see.
Oh, Lord.
This is
like when you said Tasha was going to be a bank manager.
Well, but I said they was going to be together. But they was living together.
No, they weren't. He never lived with her.
Well, he was crashing there for 3-4 days of the clip. I was closer to right than wrong.
Not really.
Yes, I was.
You said this nigga was going to be in a whole-ass relationship with her.
He was.
He was in a fake-ass relationship with her.
Well, she didn't.
He was
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what she was.
He was what?
You know
what
he was letting her feed him.
Exactly.
He was in a situation.
Feeding and fucking.
That's not
and
what
watching,
anyway,
watching Due North.
Here's what I will say.
No, let me finish my wave.
Nigga, we listen to your wave.
Let me say one thing.
To prove that he was.
You let me say one thing. I didn't talk about the whole show. I'm saying.
I'm still trying to talk about the finale. That's why I'm like, let me say this. You
I
had,
we
you asked Sham all the fucking questions. You ain't asked me shit.
I know how you feel about the show.
No, you don't. You don't know how I feel about the finale.
Guessed. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the interesting thing about the finale is that people either loved it or they hated it. There was no in between.
Right.
I think the hate part came from the fact that last season ended on such a fucking cliff, like on so, crazy. You know, people were talking about this shit all summer. This one was much milder. And even though there was some like, okay, what was that?
I think people were very disappointed in the finale in and of itself, but of the decisions of the character. Decision of Molly and the decision of Issa to go live with Daniel. Yeah. I felt like people were really like, word?
But
after all that shit, this is what y'all did?
But I think that some people also wanted another moment like...
Issa
coming home, Issa thinking that the nigga was going to be at the house,
and
her coming home,
the
shirt is in the hanger, and cut to back shots. I think people want another moment, and I think that Issa deliberately went in the other, because Issa wrote this episode herself. I think Issa deliberately went in the other direction. Like somebody said, so everybody going into season 3 still fucked up, right? And I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, everybody's still trying to figure it out. But it was like, okay, we're going to close this one chapter. We're going to close the Ethan Lawrence chapter for now. But I'm planting these seeds. So, yes, we're going to figure out what the fuck is going to happen with Molly. We're going to figure out what this new... At least Issa did have some finality. She closed the chapter with Lawrence. She moved out of the fucking apartment. Even though people are sad that we're not going to get, like,
Thug Yoda. Then he got to go?
He lives in the apartment.
He lives in the complex.
I'm saying, but he's going to have to move.
He'll probably have like an episode.
I mean, where
he's
going to move in with Issa? What the fuck?
I'm saying, he ain't got. If Issa can't afford it, that nigga can't afford it either, can he?
But what that mean by him being. Oh, no. I don't. But Issa didn't really.
I'm
going to say
it off the show.
Issa didn't just move out because she couldn't afford it.
Like $60.
Yeah, Issa didn't really just move out because she couldn't afford it. She moved out because.
Get out of it.
Because it was time to get out. The apartment was shit.
I think that Issa tried to give us a couple on moments and maybe they fell slightly flat. I think one on moment was
Daniel.
Yeah, and the other one was, what's it called? Molly opening the door and Dro being like,
that just didn't
surprise
me. Because
she turned on the lingerie, yeah. And you thinking, oh, shit, she getting with Rel, like, they about to hook up.
But Lil Rel's not the kind of nigga that you would, anyway.
Yeah.
Damn, sitting on old Slim Thick.
I don't remember his name, but you know.
He's sitting on,
Quentin,
that
was the name of
Quentin.
The show. Yeah.
On a preacher body. I think that's going to be, like you said, with the other characters, I think it's going to be a real reveal with Tiffany. Mm-hmm. I think I might not be your boy's baby.
Yeah, I see people have that whole, the whole conspiracy that she, because they've alluded to issues or whatever. Yeah.
And the fact that she told him she was going to watch a show with him, and then she called him and said she wasn't coming.
And they had, like, another moment where it was, like, they weren't able to conceive for a long-ass time.
Yeah, yeah, and all of a sudden, boom.
I think also, like, at the end of Molly's little vignette, when she answered the call from Issa, she was like, what happened? I think something happened with Tiffany.
Yeah, possibly.
And the baby.
Oh.
That was my thought. So I was like, wait, I don't want that. I mean, I don't want that, but that's that's kind of what it felt like, because they just keep talking about the pregnant. Like, they talked, I mean, I know you announced that Tiffany's pregnant, but they talked about it a lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, I hope they don't do that. Right. But needless to say, I enjoyed the season, even if you hated Sham. I know you liked it. You hate everybody on there.
I still hate everybody on there, but I like the show.
Yeah.
So the only person I like on there is Kelly.
Right. 19, I guess we'll get it back.
They said 19. I mean, they gave us two seasons within a year. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, that was, this second season came really quickly.
And they got to go get money now. Like,
somebody,
I think they all got some gigs to work on. Yeah.
Somebody did mention, and I didn't even realize this, that, like, the last episode of Atlanta and the last episode of Insecure basically ending the same way. Like, your main characters is homeless. Trying to figure some shit out.
Right.
And they're filming Atlanta now, so I guess we'll probably get that early, early 18.
That's good. I wish we could have gotten it this year, but.
Yeah.
But he was too busy doing Star Wars.
At least we're getting it, so. Overall, we love Insecure. Yeah, we was in here arguing about it too, so I guess they get what they want.
Exactly.
They want reaction.
I also said that, like, if Twitter had been around during Girlfriends, it might not have been the arguing on both sides, because I don't think as many men watch Girlfriends, but it would still be the same arguing about stupid decisions that the characters were
People
making.
Argue still about that show, who still talk about it. Like,
Girlfriends?
Whether or not Joan was a good, like, a good
Joan was your real good friend,
Who, like, because you were set up to think that Tony was really the selfish one, but Joan was actually the selfish, like, so it would have been the same kind of,
and
like,
Golden Brooks was left up when her and old boy broke up, and she started fucking a neighbor and all that shit because she cheated.
And then homegirl, the Lynn. Spirit, Lynn, I mean, just fucking everything, everybody living in niggas' houses.
It would have been interesting to have it.
And we also never got a real finale for that show.
Yeah, because the writer's strike, it just ended.
I was always hoping that one year we'd get like some type of little movie, but it doesn't seem like
people keep talking about it. But I think Mara's long.
Yeah. I think they've all moved on.
Yeah.
Right. But that's it. Thank you for coming, Sham.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
I'm gonna wrap it up. I guess bro will be back next week with some North Carolina adventures.
Later, y'all.
All right.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com.